Welcome to The Mildly Interesting with Oliver Wilson, the official bedtime podcast of former insomniacs. Tomorrow is Wednesday, December 22nd, National Date Nut Bread Day. The first recorded recipe for date bread originated in Britain in 1939. Nearly 76 years later, a date nut bread eating championship was held in New York City in 2006, in which the winner ate 29 sandwiches in 8 minutes. Date nut bread has some nutritional value, such as being high in polyphenols. This large family of naturally occurring organic compounds is comprised of antioxidants, which help protect the human body from oxidative damage that can cause problems such as inflammation. You may enjoy date nut bread, but have you ever wondered about the history of various nut bread recipes? Well, I have. And I think you might just find it mildly interesting. Subscribe to The Mildly Interesting on Apple Podcast, Spotify, or wherever fine podcasts are available. We'll be right back. A nut roll is a pastry consisting of a sweet yeast dough, usually using milk, that is rolled out very thin, spread with a nut paste made from ground nuts and a sweetener like honey, then rolled up into a log shape. This log is either left long and straight or is often bent into a horseshoe shape, egg washed, baked, and then sliced crosswise. Nut rolls resemble a jelly roll, Swiss roll, but usually with more layers of dough and filling, and resemble strudels but with fewer and less delicate dough layers. Fillings commonly have as their main ingredient ground walnuts or poppy seeds. Nut rolls can be found in the United States and in Central European cuisines. In the United States, nut roll is a more or less generic name for pastries of this type, no matter where they originate. Nut rolls are known also by many specific regional names, including Orechownik in Slovak, Makowiec in Polish, Potica, Povitica, Jabanica, Aranjaka or Njaka in Slovenian, Croatian and Serbian, Walnut variant, Makovnjaka for variant with poppy seed, in Croatia can also be made with carob, Kalax and Bijgli in Hungarian, and Pastis, Pastiche, or Knuckle in Turkish. Regional variations on nut rolls are part of weddings, for Easter and Christmas, as well as other celebrations and holidays. A sweet yeast dough is rolled flat, about 0.2 inches, 5 millimeters, thick, and a filling is spread on it. The filled dough is rolled up, forming a log or loaf shape, then baked. When sliced, the cross section shows a swirl of filling. Types or forms of nut roll are rolled log, loaf made via a bread pan, and a crazy loaf style with a unique texture. Similar ground walnut filling is used in buchteln, a bun-shaped pastry, also with yeast dough. Traditional nut rolls in Central and Eastern Europe, like Makowiec and Bijgli, are a special type of rolled log shape. These are generally made with either of two types of filling, walnut and poppy seed. In addition to ground nut fillings, cinnamon, raisins or currants, bread crumbs, lemon zest, rum and heavy cream or sour cream are used. The povitica, a traditional Croatian and partly Slovenian pastry, is made from buttery pastry dough rolled into very thin layers and covered with a layer of brown sugar, spices, and walnuts. The log-shaped loaf is then baked. Povitica was featured as the technical challenge recipe on the Advanced Dough episode of the Great British Baking Show in 2014. Other roll-shaped European pastries are filled with thick jam, called lekvar, usually apricot or cherry, called Ligvera Stekić or Swiss roll. Slovenian potica is traditional walnut roll cake in Slovenia. Nut roll is also typical for northern Serbia, Vojvodina, where it is named strudla or savjaka. Serbian nut roll is usually covered with a layer of poppy, walnut or cherry, but sometimes can be with a layer of carob or cocoa. Nut rolls are popular across the United States, often made with some combination of walnut, poppy seed, apricot, and coffee, with more traditional varieties and preparations made in areas with large Central European settlements. They were introduced there by Central European immigrants and widely adopted by other ethnic groups in those regions. Nut rolls are an essential part of Christmas celebrations and popular other times in Pittsburgh and southwestern Pennsylvania, Joliet, Illinois, Pueblo, Colorado, Sheboygan, Wisconsin, Youngstown, Ohio, northeastern Ohio, where it is known as Kolakee, the Iron Range of Minnesota, Kansas City, and Butte, Montana. As such, povitica, as well as Cornish pasties, are considered one of the traditional state foods of Montana, regardless of ethnic group. When we return, raisins. A raisin is a dried grape. Raisins are produced in many regions of the world and may be eaten raw or used in cooking, baking, and brewing. In the United Kingdom, Ireland, New Zealand, and Australia, the word raisin is reserved for the dark-colored dried large grape, with sultana being a golden-colored dried grape, and currant being a dried small black Corinth seedless grape. The word raisin dates back to Middle English, and is a loanword from Old French. In modern French, raisin means grape, while a dried grape is a raisin second, or dry grape. The Old French word, in turn, developed from the Latin word raisimus, a bunch of grapes. Raisin varieties depend on the type of grape used and are made in a variety of sizes and colors, including green, black, brown, blue, purple, and yellow. Seedless varieties include the sultana. The common American type is known as Thompson seedless in the United States, the Greek currants, black Corinthian raisins, Vitis vinifera elvar, a pyrena, and flame grapes. Raisins are traditionally sun-dried, but may also be water-dipped and artificially dehydrated. Golden raisins are generally dried in dehydrators with controlled temperature and humidity, which allows them to retain a lighter color and more moisture. They are often treated with sulfur dioxide after drying. Black Corinth or Zante currant are small, sometimes seedless raisins that are much darker and have a tart, tangy flavor. They are usually called currants. Muscat raisins are large compared to other varieties, and also sweeter. Grapes used to produce raisins in the Middle East and Asia include the large black Monuca, or Manica, grapes that produce large raisins. Raisins are produced commercially by drying harvested grape berries. For a grape berry to dry, water inside the grape must be removed completely from the interior of the cells onto the surface of the grape, where the water droplets can evaporate. However, this diffusion process is very difficult because the grape skin contains wax in its cuticle, which prevents the water from passing through. In addition to this, the physical and chemical mechanisms located on the outer layers of the grape are adapted to prevent water loss. The three steps to commercial raisin production include pre-treatment, drying, and post-drying processes. Pre-treatment is a necessary step in raisin production to ensure the increased rate of water removal during the drying process. A faster water removal rate decreases the rate of browning and helps to produce more desirable raisins. The historical method of completing this process was developed in the Mediterranean and Asia Minor areas by using a dry emulsion cold dip made of potassium carbonate and ethyl esters of fatty acids. This dip was shown to increase the rate of water loss by 2- to 3-fold. Recently, new methods have been developed, such as exposing the grapes to oil emulsions or dilute alkaline solutions. These methods can encourage water transfer to the outer surface of grapes, which helps to increase the efficiency of the drying process. The three types of drying methods are sun drying, shade drying, and mechanical drying. Sun drying is an inexpensive process, however, environmental contamination, insect infections, and microbial deterioration can occur, and the resulting raisins are often of low quality. Additionally, sun drying is a very slow process and may not produce the most desirable raisins. Mechanical drying can be done in a safer and more controlled environment where rapid drying is guaranteed. One type of mechanical drying is to use microwave heating. Water molecules in the grapes absorb microwave energy, resulting in rapid evaporation. Microwave heating often produces puffy raisins. After the drying process is complete, raisins are sent to processing plants where they are cleaned with water to remove any foreign objects that may have become embedded during the drying process. Stems and off-grade raisins are also removed. The washing process may cause rehydration, so another drying step is completed after washing to ensure that the added moisture has been removed. All steps in the production of raisins are very important in determining the quality of raisins. Sometimes, sulfur dioxide is applied to raisins after the pre-treatment step and before drying to decrease the rate of browning caused by the reaction between polyphenol oxidase and phenolic compounds. Sulfur dioxide also helps to preserve flavor and prevent the loss of certain vitamins during the drying process. Global production of raisins in 2020-21 was 1.2 million tons, led by Turkey, the United States, Iran, and India as the largest producers. Raisins are 15% water, 79% carbohydrates, including 4% fiber, 3% protein, and contain negligible fat. In a 100-gram reference amount, raisins supply 299 kilocalories and moderate amounts, 10 to 19% DV, of the daily value for several dietary minerals, riboflavin, and vitamin B6. Raisins can cause kidney failure in dogs. The cause of this is not known. When we return, sour cream. Sour cream, in North American English, Australian English and New Zealand English, or soured cream, British English, is a dairy product obtained by fermenting regular cream with certain kinds of lactic acid bacteria. The bacterial culture, which is introduced either deliberately or naturally, sours and thickens the cream. Its name comes from the production of lactic acid by bacterial fermentation, which is called souring. Crème fraîche is one type of sour cream with a high fat content and less sour taste. Traditionally, sour cream was made by letting cream that was skimmed off the top of milk ferment at a moderate temperature. It can also be prepared by the souring of pasteurized cream with acid-producing bacterial culture. The bacteria that developed during fermentation thickened the cream and made it more acidic, a natural way of preserving it. According to US FDA regulations, commercially produced sour cream contains no less than 18% milk fat before bulking agents are added, and no less than 14.4% milk fat in the finished product. Additionally, it must have a total acidity of no less than 0.5%. It may also contain milk and whey solids, buttermilk, starch in an amount not exceeding 1%, salt, and rennet derived from aqueous extracts from the fourth stomach of calves, kids or lambs, in an amount consistent with good manufacturing practice. In addition, according to the Canadian food regulations, the emulsifying, gelling, stabilizing and thickening agents in sour cream are algin, carrabin gum, locust bin gum, carrageenan, gelatin, guar gum, pectin, or propylene glycol alginate or any combination thereof in an amount not exceeding 0.5%, monoglycerides, mono and diglycerides, or any combination thereof, in an amount not exceeding 0.3%, and sodium phosphate dibasic in an amount not exceeding 0.05%. Sour cream is not fully fermented, and like many dairy products, must be refrigerated unopened and after use. Additionally, in Canadian regulations, a milk coagulating enzyme derived from Rhizomuca mihai, Cooney and Emerson, from Mucorpucillus lint by pure culture fermentation process or from Aspergillus oryzae ret 1, PBOL 777, can also be added into sour cream production process, in an amount consistent with good manufacturing practice. Sour cream is sold with an expiration date stamped on the container, though whether this is a sell by, a best buy or a use by date varies with local regulation. Refrigerated unopened sour cream can last for 1 to 2 weeks beyond its sell by date, while refrigerated opened sour cream generally lasts for 7 to 10 days. Cultured cream. Processed sour cream can include any of the following additives and preservatives: grade A whey, modified food starch, sodium phosphate, sodium citrate, guar gum, carrageenan, calcium sulfate, potassium sorbate, and locust bin gum. Milk contains approximately 3.0 to 3.5% protein. The main proteins in cream are caseins and whey proteins. Of the total fraction of milk proteins, caseins make up 80% while the whey proteins make up 20%. There are four main classes of caseins: beta caseins, alpha, S1 caseins, alpha, S2 casein and kappa caseins. These casein proteins form a multimolecular colloidal particle known as a casein micelle. The proteins mentioned have an affinity to bind with other casein proteins, or to bind with calcium phosphate, and this binding is what forms the aggregates. The casein micelles are aggregates of beta caseins, alpha, S1 caseins, alpha, S2 caseins, that are coated with kappa caseins. The proteins are held together by small clusters of colloidal calcium phosphate. The micelle also contains lipase, citrate, minor ions, and plasmin enzymes, along with entrapped milk serum. The micelle is also coated in parts of kappa caseins, which is known as the hair layer, having a lower density than the core of the micelle. Casein micelles are rather porous structures, ranging in the size of 50 to 250 nanometers in diameter, and the structures on average are 6 to 12% of the total volume fraction of milk. The structure is porous in order to be able to hold a sufficient amount of water. Its structure also assists in the reactivity of the micelle. The formation of casein molecules into the micelle is very unusual due to beta casein's large amount of proline residues. The proline residues disrupt the formation of alpha helixes and beta sheets, and because kappa caseins only contain one phosphorylation residue, they are glycoproteins. The high number of proline residues inhibits the formation of close-packed secondary structures in such as alpha helixes and beta-pleated sheets. Due to kappa caseins being glycoproteins, they are stable in the presence of calcium ions, so the kappa caseins are on the outer layer of the micelle to partially protect the non-glycoproteins beta caseins, alpha, S1 caseins, alpha, S2 caseins from precipitating out in the presence of excess calcium ions. Due to the lack of a strong secondary or tertiary structure as a result of the proline residues, casein micelles are not heat-sensitive particles. However, they are pH sensitive. The colloidal particles are stable at the normal pH of milk, which is 6.5 to 6.7. The micelles will precipitate at the isoelectric point of milk, which is a pH of 4.6. The proteins that make up the remaining 20% of the fraction of proteins in cream are known as whey proteins. Whey proteins are also widely referred to as serum proteins, which is used when the casein proteins have been precipitated out of solution. The two main components of whey proteins in milk are beta-lactoglobulin and alpha-lactalbumin. The remaining whey proteins in milk are immunoglobulins, bovine serum albumin, and enzymes such as lysozyme. Whey proteins are much more water-soluble than casein proteins. The main biological function of beta-lactoglobulin in milk is to serve as a way to transfer vitamin A, and the main biological function of alpha-lactalbumin in lactose synthesis. The whey proteins are very resistant to acids and proteolytic enzymes. However, whey proteins are heat-sensitive. The heating of milk will cause the denaturation of the whey proteins. The denaturation of these proteins happens in two steps. The structures of beta-lactoglobulin and alpha-lactalbumin unfold, and then the second step is the aggregation of the proteins within milk. This is one of the main factors that allows whey proteins to have such good emulsifying properties. Native whey proteins are also known for their good whipping properties, and in the milk products described above, their gelling properties. Upon denaturation of whey proteins, there is an increase in the water holding capacity of the product. The manufacturing of sour cream begins with the standardization of fat content. This step is to ensure that the desired or legal amount of milk fat is present. As previously mentioned, the minimum amount of milk fat that must be present in sour cream is 18%. During this step in the manufacturing process, other dry ingredients are added to the cream. Additional grade A whey, for example, would be added at this time. Another additive used during this processing step are a series of ingredients known as stabilizers. The common stabilizers that are added to sour cream are polysaccharides and gelatin, including modified food starch, guar gum, and carrageenans. The reasoning behind the addition of stabilizers to fermented dairy products is to provide smoothness in the body and texture of the product. The stabilizers also assist in the gel structure of the product and reduce whey synerosis. The formation of these gel structures leaves less free water for whey synerosis, thereby extending the shelf life. Whey synerosis is the loss of moisture by the expulsion of whey. This expulsion of whey can occur during the transportation of containers holding the sour cream, due to the susceptibility to motion and agitation. The next step in the manufacturing process is the acidification of the cream. Organic acids such as citric acid or sodium citrate are added to the cream prior to homogenization in order to increase the metabolic activity of the starter culture. To prepare the mixture for homogenization, it is heated for a short period of time. Homogenization is a processing method that is utilized to improve the quality of the sour cream in regards to the color, consistency, creaming stability, and creaminess of the cultured cream. During homogenization, larger fat globules within the cream are broken down into smaller sized globules to allow an even suspension within the system. At this point in the processing, the milk fat globules and the casein proteins are not interacting with each other, there is repulsion occurring. The mixture is homogenized. Under high pressure homogenization above 130 bar, unit, and at a high temperature of 60 degrees Celsius. The formation of the small globules, below 2 microns in size, previously mentioned allows for reducing a cream layer formation and increases the viscosity of the product. There is also a reduction in the separation of whey, enhancing the white color of the sour cream. After homogenization of the cream, the mixture must undergo pasteurization. Pasteurization is a mild heat treatment of the cream, with the purpose of killing any harmful bacteria in the cream. The homogenized cream undergoes high temperature short time, HTSD, pasteurization method. In this type of pasteurization, the cream is heated to the high temperature of 85 degrees Celsius for 30 minutes. This processing step allows for a sterile medium for when it is time to introduce the starter bacteria. After the process of pasteurization, there is a cooling process where the mixture is cooled down to a temperature of 20 C. The reason that the mixture was cooled down to the temperature of 20 C is due to the fact that this is an ideal temperature for mesophilic inoculation. After the homogenized cream has been cooled to 20 C, it is inoculated with 1-2% active starter culture. The type of starter culture utilized is essential for the production of sour cream. The starter culture is responsible for initiating the fermentation process by enabling the homogenized cream to reach the pH of 4.5 to 4.8. Lactic acid bacteria, hereto known as LAB, ferment lactose to lactic acid. They are mesophilic, gram-positive facultative anaerobes. The strains of LAB that are utilized to allow the fermentation of sour cream production are Lactococcus lactis subsplatic or Lactococcus lactis subscrimoris. They are lactic acid bacteria associated with producing the acid. The LAB that are known for producing the aromas in sour cream are Lactococcus lactis SSB. Lactis bivar diacetylactis. Together these bacteria produce compounds that will lower the pH of the mixture, and produce flavor compounds, such as diacetyl. After the inoculation of starter culture, the cream is portioned in packages. For 18 hours a fermentation process takes place in which the pH is lowered from 6.5 to 4.6. After fermentation, one more cooling process takes place. After this cooling process, the sour cream is packaged into their final containers and sent to the market. During the pasteurization process, temperatures are raised past the point where all the particles in the system are stable. When cream is heated to temperatures above 70 degrees Celsius, there is denaturation of whey proteins. To avoid phase separation brought on by the increased surface area, the fat globules readily bind with the denatured beta-lactoglobulin. The adsorption of the denatured whey proteins, and whey proteins that bound with casein micelles, increases the number of structural components in the product. The texture of sour cream can be partly attributed to this. The denaturation of whey proteins is also known for increasing the strength of the cross-linking within the cream system, due to the formation of whey protein polymers. When the cream is inoculated with starter bacteria and the bacteria begins converting lactose to lactic acid, the pH begins a slow decrease. When this decrease begins, dissolution of calcium phosphate occurs, and causes a rapid drop in the pH. During the processing step, fermentation, the pH was dropped from 6.5 to 4.6. This drop in pH brings on a physicochemical change to the casein micelles. Recall, the casein proteins are heat stable, but they are not stable in certain acidic conditions. The colloidal particles are stable at the normal pH of milk, which is 6.5 to 6.7. The micelles will precipitate at the isoelectric point of milk, which is a pH of 4.6. At a pH of 6.5, the casein micelles repulse each other due to the electronegativity of the outer layer of the micelle. During this drop in pH, there is a reduction in zeta potential, from the highly net negative charges in cream to no net charge when approaching the pi. The formula shown is the Henry's equation, where Z, zeta potential, UE, electrophoretic mobility, epsilon, dielectric constant, eta, viscosity, and Fcar, Henry's function. This equation is used to find the zeta potential, which is calculated to find the electrokinetic potential in colloidal dispersions. Through electrostatic interactions, the casein molecules begin approaching and aggregating together. The casein proteins enter a more ordered system, attributing to a strong gel structure formation. The whey proteins that were denatured in the heating steps of processing are insoluble at this acidic pH and are precipitated with casein. The interactions involved in gelation and aggregation of casein micelles are hydrogen bonds, hydrophobic interactions, electrostatic attractions, and van der Waals attractions. These interactions are highly dependent on pH, temperature, and time. At the isoelectric point, the net surface charge of casein micelle is zero and a minimum of electrostatic repulsion can be expected. Furthermore, aggregation is taking place due to dominating hydrophobic interactions. Differences in the zeta potential of milk can be caused by differences in ionic strength differences, which in turn depend on the amount of calcium present in the milk. The stability of milk is largely due to the electrostatic repulsion of casein micelles. These casein micelles aggregated and precipitated when they approach the absolute zeta potential values at pH 4.0 to 4.5. When the heat, treated and denatured, whey protein is covering the casein micelle, isoelectric point of the micelle elevated to the isoelectric point of beta-lactoglobulin, approximately pH 5.3. Sour cream exhibits time-dependent thixotropic behaviors. Thixotropic fluids reduce in viscosity as work is applied, and when the product is no longer under stress, the fluid returns to its previous viscosity. The viscosity of sour cream at room temperature is 100,000 CP. For comparison, water has a viscosity of 1 CP at 20 degrees Celsius. The thixotropic properties exhibited by sour cream are what make it such a versatile product in the food industry. Sour cream is commonly used as a condiment on foods, or combined with other ingredients to form a dipping sauce. It can be added to soups and sauces to help thicken and make them creamy, or in baking to help increase the moisture level over and above using milk. In Tex-Mex cuisine, it is often used as a substitute for crema in nachos, tacos, burritos, and taquitos.